chose, finally, another great resurrection beginning in verse 11 and 12. Notice that's the place to which we've come now in Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. They do so in a great end time resurrection that occurs, believe it or not, after the millennium, after the 1,000-year rule of Jesus Christ of Nazareth and the saints of God who were changed and born into the family of God for 1,000 years. And it says, I saw, reading up to it, verse 11, a great white throne. Now that's where a lot of people get the picture that they have seen by false religious concepts, as if the day of judgment is when all the billions of human beings, you know, the longest line you've ever waited in all of your life, but people don't envision more than a few hundred there for some reason, the way the pastors kind of preach to them about it. It isn't a rally as big as Woodstock or even the recent rally in New York City for anti-nuclear purposes where 700,000 human beings were in Central Park. Now, if they'd had a line there for snow cones and you were 600,947th in line, how long do you think it would take you to get up there to make the simple purchase of a snow cone for a quarter and to get change? Well, probably not more than 6 months, if you follow me. But the Bible is a realistic book. God is a real God, and these events of the Bible are real events. They're not fantasy events in your dreams. They're not colorful pictures painted by Horace Wheezing, gasping, would-be fear tacticians who are saying, give your heart to the Lord and your wallet to the preacher. Come down the sawdust trail and get a point of contact and be saved, brethren. And all that kind of hullabaloo. No, no, it is a real book, talking about real events, talking about practical things that are to occur in the future. This picture of a great white throne is in symbol. And he said, I saw him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Again, symbolic language. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, books in plural. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, plural. Now, what is judgment? A lot of people don't seem to know the simple dictionary definition of the word judgment. Judgment and sentencing are two different things. A judgment period of time is revealed in the Bible itself. And again, as I say continually, don't believe me, believe the Bible. Let the Bible interpret the Bible. Compare Scripture with Scripture. It says in 1 Peter 4:17, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? You know, an awful lot of people think that getting into God's kingdom is a lot easier than it really is. They think there's nothing you must do. They hear the swan song of a lot of religionists saying Christ did it all for you. He lived a righteous life in your stead, so you don't have to live a righteous life. You don't have to overcome. There's no real grinding perseverance. There's no driving ahead. There's no really long-suffering, painstaking waiting and very cautious, careful, faithful endurance involved in the Christian life. You just go along and make gurgling, bubbling sounds like a baby with its pablum being burped by its mother and say, the Lord love you and bless you, Jesus, and then live any way you want to. Well, why does the Bible say, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Why does the Bible say, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that enter in thereat? But straight, difficult, narrow is the gate and the way that leads unto life, and few there be that enter therein. Why did Jesus say it is through much tribulation you must enter the kingdom of God? This explains that judgment has come upon God's people, God's church, Christians, and that judgment is a lifelong process. The time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, that's who's being judged now. What shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? That is those who resent and disobey the gospel of God. Notice again the word obedience. A lot of people don't like that word in the Bible. They don't want that word obey. They don't want to hear about a Jesus Christ who says that he is your boss, They don't want to say, yes, sir, boss, I follow your orders. They only want to worship and adore him and have him as a kind of a household god, kind of like a corn silk doll, kind of like Smokey Bear, somebody that's a convenient friend. Have him over there in the corner where you can go over and love him now and then. Pick him up and cuddle him. Say, that's Jesus. I love Jesus. Oh, you mean it's time to go out and do something? Okay, fine. Let's go, fellas. People have time for the Lord, you know, about 12, 20, 30 minutes on Sunday. They have a kind of a convenient, hip-pocket, good old boy relationship with the Lord. And then, of course, when it comes time to do their own thing and their own business, well, then they don't have time for the Lord anymore. Now, just, Lord, you get over there in the corner and shut up, keep quiet, don't bother me with my business. I'm busy out here trying to earn a living, keep my family fed and clothed. But the Bible talks about obey. Well, here is a picture of that great final resurrection after the millennial reign of Christ, after the 1,000-year period that is mentioned four times in the earlier verses of this chapter. Verse 11, I saw a great white throne, a symbol of rulership or of judgment, and him that sat on it. And then it gets into the symbol. Because of God's greatness, it gives a lot of allegorical and symbolic language. And says in verse 12, I saw the dead. Now, of course, they're no longer dead. As it says in verse 5, the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. So these dead are resurrected. Now they are alive again. Small and great stand before God. So this is the second resurrection, the one Jesus spoke of in the 5th chapter of John, the one that was inspired to be put into Daniel's 12th chapter, the one that is mentioned here in verse 5 of Revelation 20, the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. And it says the books were opened. Now, I mentioned last time before the close of the program, how we in the church are being judged now. How it says that judgment must begin today at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of those that obey not the gospel of God? That the Apostle Peter said, judgment is already upon the church. That you, if you are a Christian, are being judged. Now, please understand the difference between judgment and sentencing. A sentencing is a final decree, an act, which imposes a certain sentence upon a person after the process of judgment. But the process of judgment takes place over a long period of time. In a trial, for example, a person is being judged. That trial may take place over a day, or several weeks, or months, or several years. In the case of a Christian life, it takes place throughout the entire lifespan. Judgment is a lifelong process. Now, what is the standard of our judgment? It is the Word of God. It says so in Acts 10 and verse 42 that Jesus Christ is the judge of the quick and the dead, meaning the living and the dead, those who are yet to come up. It tells us in Matthew 7 and verse 1, judge not that you be not judged, but the original Greek word should be rendered condemn not. The word judgment is capable of quite a number of different interpretations, unfortunately. And oftentimes, even the translator did not use it correctly. Notice in verse 13 it says here that the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell, Hades, I'll explain later in the next program or two, delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. Now, that is not a sentencing. It is a judgment. Let me tell you what judgment means. Remember in verse 4 of chapter 20, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Now, who is going to be the judge? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But those who overcome and are granted his kingdom and are born into the very family of God are also to be co-rulers and co-judges with Jesus Christ. Judgment means discernment. It means caution, discretion, wisdom, knowledge, the ability to judge between right and wrong. But this time unfettered by bias, unfettered by racism, by prejudice, by personal hang-ups of any kind, now the clear, righteous judgment of the very mind of God that can look right down beneath the human heart and get right down into the bottom of human motives to understand the heart and the attitudes of the human mind. When it says here that these dead who are resurrected now at the end of the millennium are judged according to the books, what are these books that are opened out of which these dead are judged? Notice it says, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. Well, the Greek word for books is biblos. Do you know the only thing holy about the Bible is the fact that the word holy appears before the Greek word biblos? Holy Bible from the Greek means sacred, biblos, or books. Not one book, but many books. The books of the Bible, each one a separate book, such as Genesis is a book, Revelation is a book, 1 Corinthians, 2 Chronicles, the Psalms, etc. The Greek word is biblos, the same word right here. What books is it? What collection of books judge you and me? The Word of God. God says, I change not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The judgmental process is not going to change. People who are resurrected are not going to be judged by something that is written in some book somewhere about what they did, but be judged according to what they will yet do based upon what is written in the Word of God.